From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunderstorm on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondergadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nitz Gold, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third for the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
You know, it's always nice to be able to begin this program on a positive note. And just a little over 30 minutes ago, on Gobbler's Knob in Pennsylvania, Punxsutawney Phil emerged from his temporary hole, his home, and he predicted an early spring. That is welcome news to everybody across the country who has been dealing with brutal, brutal cold temperatures over the course of the past several days. So let's hope that Phil is correct on this one. But an early spring is what Punxsutawney Phil predicted this morning.
He better be right or he's going to be on the barbecue.
Yeah, the little varmint. You better be right, Phil. Welcome to the program. Of course, it is the Equine Forum, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy to have you with us for the next couple of hours here this morning, and happy to be able to begin with that news. Here's another thought to warm you up as the weather kind of starts to shift the other way, at least in the middle part of the week for many people. 91 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 40 seconds until the first Saturday in May and the Run for the Roses.
It'll be here before you know it.
That 91 days is going to go quickly, my friend.
No, it's, I mean, basically it's already here. We've started with these, you know, derby preps, if you want to call them that.
But yeah,
really doesn't have any bearing on the Kentucky Derby until we get into the last month or so.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I wouldn't say that. I think if you win, you get the 10 points. That 10 points can make or break if you're going to try and get into that field, right? If you're on the bubble. You need those 10 points.
Yeah. Well, if you're on the bubble, you probably don't belong in the race anyway.
Well, I know, but that allure of the Kentucky Derby, right?
Yeah.
If you have a shot, you're going to go. Because anything can happen, right? I mean, the 10-year anniversary of Mind That Bird is this year.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen Giacomo. Anything can happen.
Don't bring up Giacomo.
Anything can happen. So if you get a chance
Source
to be
subject.
In, it's the Derby. I think you go. Assuming that you think your horse is legit and he really can, you know, run a big race. But anyway, he's Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna. That's Pontiff and Baron, and we're happy to have you with us here again this morning. A couple of things, JT. We have three Derby prep races today, all worth 10 points to the winner. You have the Holy Bull down at Gulfstream. You have the Withers at Aqueduct in New York, and you have the Robert B. Lewis out in California. And that's gonna be our poll question for this morning. And you can vote at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Let's assume that the Kentucky Derby winner is coming from one of those three races today. Which of those three Derby prep races this afternoon is most likely to produce the Kentucky Derby winner? The Withers, the Holy Bull, or the Robert B. Lewis? If you had to vote between the three, and that's not an easy question for people to... I'll be surprised if there's a runaway winner here between these three choices, because... You know, at this point, these three-year-olds are still developing, right? They're still moving, looking to take that next step in the right direction, and there's talented horses in all three races.
Yeah, I was thinking about this morning, actually, more than I probably should have. But these races are not very exciting, I don't think, as far as, like, Derby fever. Like, there's no big star in any of them. I guess the closest you would come to... A big star is Maximus Mischief, which is a horse that has done nothing wrong in three career starts.
Yeah. And
looks somewhat like he could be a special horse, you know? But there's a lot of people that don't like him in this race. You read things on the web and Twitter and stuff, and people are picking against him.
Do you like him?
I think he's legit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't bet on him. He's going to be a short price. But, I mean, I think he's a legit horse, you know?
And that's in the Holy Bull.
That's in the Holy Bull.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the other races are kind of like, you know, I mean, Tax was claimed for $50,000, and, you know, he's one of the choices in the Withers.
Yeah, morning line favorite, right?
Yeah.
2-1 morning line favorite.
Which is really bizarre.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Robert B. Lewis is a short field. On paper, it looks like, you know, maybe it's a split kind of a race, three horses that have a chance and three horses that are just in there praying,
yeah.
You know. But I don't know. It doesn't really have that pizzazz that we sometimes have at this time of year when horses start coming out. I think the point system has caused a situation where the trainers are waiting longer to run their big horses. We haven't seen arguably the two best horses, Game Winner,
yep,
right, has yet to make an appearance, and you know, we have
Instagrand,
unbelievable training. I mean, he's put on weight. His rear end is as big as a house, and he looks fantastic. And you know, we've had some horses too that have popped up that we don't know where they're going to end up. Country Home, is that his name? Country Home.
Yeah, you know, Bill Mott is
Hidden Scroll
is back on the Derby trail here, right? He's got some very talented runners. Mark Cassie does too. We're going to hear from Mark Cassie later in the program today. And then you get into the mix with your usual suspects, with Bob Baffert and with Jerry Hollendorfer and Todd Pletcher and Steve Asmussen. They're all going to be gunning for that Kentucky Derby, and it's going to be interesting to see if maybe, you know, who knows? I mean, we have to wait till the first Saturday in May to find out if you're right with your answer to our poll question today, but let's just assume that the Derby winner is running today in one of those three prep races. Which of the three most likely to produce the Kentucky Derby winner? And as Jude pointed out, maybe the Holy Bull is the one with Maximus Mischief. He certainly looks like he could be the real deal at this point anyways, but a long way to go. So you've got the Withers, the Holy Bull, and the Robert B. Lewis at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. I mentioned Mark Cassie coming up. He'll be with us at 8:35 Eastern time. Before I run down the rest of the guest lineup for this morning, want to let people know that if you were trying to access our website yesterday, you found out that we had some issues with it. It was down for maintenance all day long, which was much longer than we anticipated. It is now back up. It is running. Many people have tweeted to us and asked us about the podcast for yesterday's Weekend Stakes preview presented by Naira Betts. That is now posted on the website too. So you can head over there at your leisure anytime after we finish up here today or whenever works for you, and go to horseracingradio.net and listen to that podcast, download it, and get all the selections from Jude and Big A for the stakes races, including those three Derby preps.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a good show. It was a fun show to do, but yeah, a lot of people were asking for it this morning, and I didn't know at 4:30 this morning what was going on. So, and I didn't want to call anybody and wake them up. So,
thank you for that.
Glad to see that it's up and functioning. I tested it on my phone. It works fine on my phone, so I'm assuming it will work fine wherever you are.
All right, so Mark Cassie at 8:35. Don Little Jr., Centennial Farms. They're sending out Mijos, the Mucho Macho Man winner, in the Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream this afternoon. So we'll talk to Don Little from Centennial Farms at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Doug Arnold from Buck Pond is going to be with us in the second half of the show around 9:20 Eastern. He will be with us for our Stallion Spotlight segment, which is presented every Saturday morning by Red Brand Fence. We'll get a chance to talk about the stallions at Buck Pond Farm. And yesterday on Express Bet Radio, Hall of Fame jockey Kent DeSormo joined Jude and Anthony and did it. He was so good, Jude. I put that interview together so we could replay it for our listeners this morning, because I know a lot of people probably didn't catch it yesterday afternoon necessarily. So we're going to replay it here coming up in just about 5 minutes from right now. And Kent was so good talking about his career and milestone win number 6,000, and then some of the moments that have stood out to him throughout those 6,000 victories. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear it this morning.
Yeah, he was in a great mood. He just won the last race he rode about 25 minutes before, so he was feeling pretty cheeky, and it was fun to talk to him. I think he's really enjoying the fact that he won the 6,000. And, well, I don't want to spoil the interview.
Yeah, 6,001 now with that victory yesterday, allegedly. But Kent maybe has a different take on that, and you're going to hear that interview coming up in just a few minutes. We'll bring that your way. We'll bring Mark Cassie your way, Don Little Jr., Doug Arnold, and our Industry Star of the Week, which is presented by Stuart Morris. That comes up toward the end of the first hour as well. A lot of things to get to. Busy morning. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Adina Springs Stallion, Mucho Macho Man, a precocious juvenile, a classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Barrage Barrage, Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man in front, followed by Hembook, who continues to close ground, but will run out of racetrack as Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban.
Mucho Macho Man, directs the war, will take charge of Final Man. Mucho Macho Man!
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes black type runner Bell Laura and TDN Rising Stars Mucho Gusto with trainer Bob Baffert and Borton Hill in the barn of trainer Chad Brown. In the sales ring, yearlings by Mucho Macho Man have proven popular, selling for up to $170,000, with his first two-year-olds bringing up to $625,000. Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay, I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they are coming with a flourish at the quarter pole. Favorite Trick is yet to start his run. Cape Town is gearing up. He's five lengths away. Top of the stretch, and Real Quiet gets the lead on the outside. Indian Charlie is under the whip in second. Cape Town will have to do more. Victory Gallop is running with Hallory Hunter on the far outside. But Real Quiet is at the eighth pole. He's got the lead by two. Indian Charlie, Victory Gallop is still third, but he's coming. Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
How about that? A little look back to 1998 and Real Quiet's victory in the run for the Roses under Hall of Fame jockey Kent DeSormo. If you're wondering about that man who had the call, that was a very young Kurt Becker, who called that Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs in a powerful effort by Real Quiet, able to hold off Victory Gallop, who was charging hard, and give Kent his first of three Kentucky Derby victories. And, of course, Kent, a winner of 7 Triple Crown races, 6 Breeders' Cup races, and, of course, 3 Eclipse Awards in that Hall of Fame career. And that was a moment that Ken is never going to forget, I can tell you that.
Yeah, or Kurt Becker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was about 12 at the time.
He sounded very young in that audio clip, didn't he?
Yeah, very young. It was fun to listen to. Lee was pulling it up yesterday, and we got to listen to it.
Not that he's old now.
No, he's not old, but he's older. I mean, older. I don't know how old he was when he made that call, but he sounds like a teenager.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent call by Kurt, and excellent ride by Kent DeSormo to get that first Kentucky Derby victory. Last Sunday, he added his name to a highly illustrious list in the sport with 6,000 career victories. And Kent joined Anthony and Jude on Express Bet Radio yesterday afternoon, and he started by talking about whether he ever imagined he would win 6,000 races when he first started this Hall of Fame career.
Absolutely not, especially coming out of Evangeline Downs. Never even heard of the likes of Shoemaker or Bill Hartack, and to be mentioned in the same breath of those names is quite amazing. You know, to move out of the bush traction into a place closer to New York, which I thought was going to be my final destination, and just cut my teeth in Maryland, really, and learn some of the heroes of the game, some of the legends of the game. Shoemaker, Angel, and so on. The locals, Eddie Delahousse and Randy Romero. I didn't know who those guys were until I arrived in Maryland. I had heard of guys like the fog jockey, Sylvester Kramush, because he was riding weekends with me at Acadiana Downs on the bush track. Absolutely not, and incredible, and feel quite blessed.
Well, 6,000 is a tremendous accomplishment, and did you feel any pressure as you approached the 6,000 to get it over with?
No, absolutely not at all, and you're going to love this one. America, and that statistic doesn't count my worldly wins. I actually have 6,127, so in my mind, 6,000 was passed a year ago. And it does stick in my mind. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I have 6,122 or something like that. And when my immediate goal, I'm sure you've read notes about it, is to pass the state legend, Eddie Delahousse, and I will count my worldly win.
That's right. So where else in the world did you win?
Well, I have 121 in Japan.
Right.
I remember I went there for 5 years.
Yeah, I remember you took my daughter with you.
3 months a year for 5 years. Yeah, that's right. She came when Jacob was initially implanted with his cochlear implants. That's right. Yeah, so she spent some time with me in Tokyo and Oi and Kyoto and all of Japan. There's one or two in Dubai. I know for sure there's one in Dubai. And Hong Kong. Happy Valley or Shatin, I don't remember which one, but aside from Japan, there might be two others.
Kent, you bring up Jacob, and you are one. I know you a very long time, and you've always been very forthright about your life and your career. And like most of us, you have a story, and you've overcome a lot of adversity personally and in your family life. The perseverance and the effort made on a daily basis, does it a number like this make all of that worth it? And reflect on that a little bit.
Well, I think that the most important thing I can say about my kids is not very kind to myself, because I chose a career of being a jockey, and I can count on one hand how many times I've been to one of their weekend soccer games or basketball games, or the baby Jacob, who's 21, where he went to drama classes, and I can count one play that I went to. So, I spent every weekend at the racetrack while my kids were growing up, and I missed that. I miss that tremendously, and I have to thank my family, immediate family now, and my extended family for the tremendous amount of support they gave me, taxiing my kids around the state to basketball, football, soccer games, drama classes, and speaking of the devil, Jacob went through his 21st surgery yesterday. He had a tonsillectomy. So we had the charity basketball game with the eighth grade kids across the street, Holy Angels. And part of the charity is for Eye on Jacob, who is the baby we're talking about. And he wasn't there because he was recovering from surgery. So he and Gary both went under the knife yesterday.
That's a thing that you participate in every year. And I was noticing some people were mentioning it on Twitter, and that you really stand up for that every year. You go to that game, you play hard. It's a big deal. They've been doing that since I was a kid.
They've been doing it as long as I've been here, and I've been here since 1990. So, it's a tremendous thing for the school also. I know they thank us for the basketballs every year and the equipment they have and are able to use, not just for basketball, but with their recess programs. And that game, doesn't have to pay for anything other than their equipment. So it's 100% charity to them. And I know Eye on Jacob gets a portion. And most of that is due to, I know my ex-wife, Sonia, she also helps put on the program. As Jude, you would know, Ryan has been helpful as well.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing, and you're like the LeBron James of the jockey basketball. I mean, you're there.
We have the new one now. It's Muggsy Bogues. Drayden Van Dyke has taken over. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He plays the whole 40 minutes, and I play about two. So you got it right. I'm LeBron now. I got a groin injury, and I'm coaching from the bench.
Well, talking to Hall of Famer Kent DeSormo, he got 6,000 last Saturday. He got 6,001 about 25 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Kent, like you said, from the bush tracks in the bayou all the way to Maryland and out to California, stints in New York, Japan, all over the world. Can you pick out a moment or two that really stick out in your mind?
Well, I'd have to give bloodhorse.com some props on that because they did a little skit in the life of DeSormo's career. It came out this morning, and I enjoyed reading it myself. It was some fond memories. You know, you can't get past the first win. There's just no getting past that. I remember every stride of the race, if you can believe that or not. Then the next thing in line is my first stake win, and then Gilton, who passed Chris McCarron for the 547th win. I rode her for Charlie Hadry, who was the A guy in Maryland, and I was riding for the A guy. I was very proud of that. Ended up riding a horse called Private Terms that was favored in the Kentucky Derby that Chris Antley rode because I had broken my collarbone weeks before. I was previously undefeated on that horse, 7-0, and he went off favored and unfortunately had something amiss in the race and recovered very well to win the MASCAP with me on his back. But if I'm single them out, they're going to be the first, you know, my first win, my first stake, the record, my first Kentucky Derby. Wow. I mean, I think that's going to be ever hard to surpass because one of the main reasons I'm still in the game is because I want to win more of those. I ride every day trying to find another Kentucky Derby winner. But in the meantime, being immediately goal-oriented, I want to pass Eddie Delahousie. And I always remember my first stake on Delegant from Michael Whittingham, Charlie Whittingham's son, no less. And, riding for Bobby Frankel. I mean, there was a meet at like, Chad Brown. I won every turf race at Del Mar for Frankel and Neil Drysdale. there wasn't a turf race we left unscathed. I mean, it was the likes of Astra and Tucson and just these freaks of horses that I rode that now Tucson was like a lottery chip. I rode five additional grade foals of hers, grade one winners for Judmont that were her foals. So Honest Lady, Kisling, I can't remember all five right off the back of my hand because there's so many. And then, you know, over the last 5 years, how could I not mention my brother? What a tenure we've been on. We've been in every Kentucky Derby since he came to California. I think I should have won two. Absolutely mad stopped on Exaggerator. He proved that he could have won by winning the Preakness. My boy Jack this year, he'll prove that he could have won it because absolutely stopped on a dime at the 3/8 pole. And just the things that I've been able to accomplish with Exaggerator and for my brother. And then to end the story, I honestly believe the best horse I've ever ridden so far is Big Brown. And that real quiet defeat in the Kentucky for the Triple Crown, it hurt, but I got to give it my all. And I would probably win the next nine if we ran it 10 times total. I'd win the next nine times. But it saddens me deeply that Big Brown was not offered a chance. He was by far the best in that race, and unfortunately he was stepped on. And you could have followed him to the barn after the race by following the blood trail back to his stall. So that was my most difficult defeat. Him and being DQ'd on the Wicked North. Those are my two transgressions. Those are the two tragic events that they seem to snap in your brain quicker than the successful ones.
Do you have a bucket list race going forward?
A derby for my brother as well for myself. But more for my brother, I think, and getting 6,384 races. That's the goal. 6,384. When I see that number, God willing, I'll probably hang my saddle on the wall.
That's cool.
I know with a long and storied career like you've had, it's probably hard to narrow it down. But a person or two along the way, whether it be on track or off track, that you give more credit to than some others?
Two? Oh, the greatest credit in the world goes to the horsemen for, like, I'll repeat my quote, for having the confidence to let me take the reins in pursuit of a win. Each and every one of them. You have no idea. Well, I'm sure Jude does. When you go a week or two without winning a race, a five claiming win is like winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. So I'd have to thank each and every trainer. That would be the biggest thing for me. And the owners, the horsemen as a whole, the word should be horsemen, for having the confidence in me to let me take the reins in pursuit of a win. That is the most important thing besides God blessing me with the skills to take the reins, to do something with them. And absolutely thank God for these blessings. And, you know, Who can say none of us can do this without the owners and the fans?
What was Jude? Did you ever ride for Jude, Kent?
Of course, absolutely.
What was he like to ride for?
I think I rode for some twins. Didn't you have some twin babies?
We did, but you didn't ride those.
For some reason, Jude, I remember that part of our lives together because we were trying to babysit these sickly twins, maybe.
Yeah.
I think I remember that as much as anything.
One of those twins got to the races.
That was a family affair.
Yeah. One of those twins got to the races, but you didn't ride them. They actually ended up running in Washington. But you rode for my most famous client that I ever trained for, Kevin Costner, and on a horse.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was funny.
I sure do.
Because the week before the race before, he had come out to the track unannounced because he saw Lafitte was on the horse, and I said, "Oh, you didn't call me?" And he goes, "Well, I saw Lafitte was on the horse. I figured he was going to win." So, yeah, he didn't win with Lafitte, but the next time out, I put you on him, and he won, and he was so happy. That was a big deal for Kevin to win that.
That's a big deal for
race.
All of us. I mean, yeah. Coming to California, I remember never even knowing I'd go to a movie for viewing pleasure. Never even had one ounce of attention to who was playing a part. anything about the cast. And then you come to California and go to Hollywood Park, and they're all at the racetrack.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Right. Yeah.
And then they get paraded through the jocks room, like you say. I mean, it's awe-inspiring to run into somebody like Sylvester Stallone, who you watch in Rocky, and you think he's this giant. And he's about an inch taller than me.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's surprising the difference, but yeah, that was a memorable moment, and yeah, proud to be together was the horse, and it was a really fun day.
You know, speaking of Hollywood stars and all that kind of stuff, this little kid out of Maurice Country, Louisiana, I've been all over the world, ridden some of the fanciest yachts. And I would just have to take that moment, since you brought it up, and be thankful for the industry for introducing me to that part of the world. I mean, I still today couldn't do some of the things I did if I had to do it on my own recognizance. I don't have that much money. I couldn't afford to do some of the things I've done. And that's really an incredible part about my career as well.
Oh, it's been a remarkable one. Ken, thanks for some time today. Continued success. Good luck on the journey to pass Eddie D, and best of luck going forward, pal.
Thanks for the memories. Nice talking to y'all.
Wow, what a way to begin the Equine Forum on this Saturday morning, huh? Unbelievable. Kent DeSormo, super engaged with that interview with you guys yesterday. Kent's always a spectacular radio interview. He's always a great soundbite because he has so much energy. But Jude, to hear him talk about those moments in his career that stand out to him and the moments he'd like to have back, like, for example, Big Brown, would love to have that moment back. And it's just, it was so cool to hear him talk about those things.
Yeah, well, he was flying high after his most recent victory. 25 minutes before the interview, that was good for us. He didn't get in any trouble. There was no conflict, so he was in a great mood and very engaging. And you know, he knows Anthony a long time. Our families have been close, so it was just like three guys sitting around having a beer talking about horse racing, you know, and he was great.
Even if you count his worldly wins, as he put it, over in Japan, he is still more than 200 career victories behind Eddie Delahousse, who sits 15th all time. He has 6,383. So as Kent said, if he gets to 6,384, he'll probably hang it up at that point and be done. That's his one goal, the one thing still driving Kent DeSormo. Hey, who can bet against him? The kid's overcome everything ever since he was an apprentice.
Yeah, if his brother Keith has a Derby horse in the barn, he'll probably stick around to ride that one.
Yeah, yeah. His one thing he wants to do, right? Win a Kentucky Derby for his brother Keith. No doubt about it. And our thanks to Kent DeSormo for joining Anthony and Jude yesterday on Express Bet Radio. You can catch that show every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon from 3 to 6 Eastern. It airs live on Sirius 219, XM 201, and worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, the same exact channels you're listening to right now. That's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 3 to 6 Eastern, Express Bet Radio. All right, this is usually when we would bring you your Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but in honor of a very busy morning and so many special guests, including Mark Cassie, who comes your way next, we're going to bypass the story. We will remind you that if you're in the Lexington area and you're looking for a vehicle, there is no better place than the Lexus store of Lexington, especially if you are in the horse business, because they will cater to you if you're in the horse industry. They've been doing it a long, long time, and they are the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. You go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. We're back with Mark Cassie right after this.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm, bet on red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be too close to call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
FDB stands for Flashy Debut Breakthrough.
Free Drop Billy is on the move, needs to find a seam, and splits horses decisively. Free Drop Billy, who wins it by 2.5 in the end.
FDB stands for Fast Dirt Brilliance.
Into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Free Drop Billy opening up by 3. Bravazo in second, but no catching. Free Drop Billy, who wins it.
Free Drop Billy, Union Rags is only Grade 1 winner at stud. New for 2019 at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
It's War of Wills and Maniwa now going for the quarter pole. Hawk Creek Hustle is wide. Then Chase the Ghost. Tight Tend is next from Night Ops as they come for home. Then Boyland End. Low Speed is last of 12. They're homeward bound. Three quarters in 1 minute 14.63 seconds. It's War of Will, who's taken charge in this final fairgrounds furlong for Tyler Gaffalione. Pull clear from Maniwa. Hot Creek Hustle is staying on. Pluska Buffet between horses. They're close to home. It's War of Will. Runs out impressively in the LeCompte. 1 by 4. Hot Creek Hustle was second. Moving well third. Wicked Indeed next across from Pluska Buffet and Chase the Ghost.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was John Dooley with the call of the LeCompte Stakes. War of Will getting the victory for trainer Mark Cassie, and he is one of several three-year-olds that Mark is hoping can find their way into the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. He'll saddle two later this afternoon in the Withers at Aqueduct. He'll saddle our Brain Trust, who is 6-1 on the morning line, and he will saddle Sir Winston, who is 12-1 on the morning line in that race in New York later today. And Mark Cassie, nice enough to spend a little time with us here this morning. Mark, it's Derby season, so great to catch up, my friend.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, good morning. Happy to have you on board. And, you know, that call from John of War of Will, he ended it with strides out impressively. Let's start with that horse and go back to that day. Your thoughts on that performance?
First, I wanted to say I love John. He's the only guy he can call a race and tell you what he had for dinner in the race. he cracks me up. I love him. But anyways, I was extremely impressed with him. We call him Wow, obviously because of his initials. But it wasn't even, and a lot of people probably didn't see what was one of the most impressive things was Tyler got him kind of running at the 8th pole or 3/16th pole. And then after the race, he took off, which is what you're looking for, especially when you're thinking about trying to get a mile and a quarter in May. So, he's always kind of been really highly rated with us, and he gets an extra star after that performance.
That was a pretty representative field, too. There were some nice horses in that race. It wasn't just, an average grade three. I mean, it was a pretty good race, I thought, and really made mincemeat.
I agreed. It was solid. A lot was said, and I think a lot was overlooked. I went into the race with about as much confidence as a trainer can have, with knowing that so many things can happen. I thought his win at Churchill Downs when he broke his maiden was just so impressive. A lot was said that it was muddy, but or sloppy. It wasn't. It was drying out. It was a fair racetrack. It wasn't like he was a horse that went to the lead and just threw back slop and drew off. He won really impressive, did it easy. Tyler geared him down in the last eighth of a mile. And unlike a lot of places where you run a race, there may be the only mile in the 16th that day or, mile race. Well, all she had to do was look at the Kentucky Jockey Club, which was an extremely solid field. I think the second and third Breeders' Cup finishers were in that race, and they ran 10/100ths of a second faster than he did, and they were in an all-out drive the entire way, and he was just galloping. So if you compared it that way, I thought that made him very solid. The other thing that people don't realize is with a little better trip, he could have won the Breeders' Cup Turf. I think he ran something like 65 feet farther than the winner, 90 feet farther than the second horse. So he's pretty talented on both surfaces.
Yeah, and that was as a maiden, Mark. Let's keep that in mind. Didn't break his maiden until that race at Churchill Downs, his first try on dirt. But you look at his two-year-old campaign, and you look at his pedigree, being by Warfront out of a Sadler's Wells mare, it makes sense that you start this horse on the grass. You ran him four times on the turf, including that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf as a two-year-old, then bring him out to the dirt. Now he's a perfect two-for-two on the dirt. Did that surprise you in any way?
Well, first, I was just going to say, we were playing kind of catch-up. You have to realize my brother, who did a tremendous job getting this horse, bought him in France, I think, in March. So we got him in New York, I want to say, maybe somewhere around May. So then I got him up to Saratoga, and I told Gary Barber it was the time we were going, going with Wonder Gadot, and she was getting ready for the Travers. I said, we have another Wonder Gadot. And I said, but I'm playing catch up, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send him to Woodbine and run him in a maiden race. He's not exactly ready to run, but he needs the experience. People don't realize, but experience over that turf course, it's so unique that it gives you a big, big advantage. So, we ran him up there on the grass, and he ran good, but he disappointed me a little bit, to be honest. I was like, well, I thought he would win, even though we probably had him at 80%. So then we got him ready, and of course he ran in the summer stakes and got beat just the last part of it. So now now I'm stuck. Now it's a little tough to go to the dirt, even though he is trained absolutely on a scale of the 1 to 10, a 10 on the dirt. But how do you go from running second at grade one on the turf to going to dirt? Though it was, if it had been up to Gary Barber, we might have ran in the juvenile. And I just kept saying to Gary, I said, I don't know. I think we got to run in the turf. So were we surprised on his dirt performance? Not really. Even though his pedigree just screams turf, turf, turf. The interesting part about him is, I've trained a lot of Warfronts, and I've trained a lot of horses out of Sadler Wells mares. He looks nothing like any of the others. He's a big, tall, lanky horse with a lot of leg. So, anyways, he's a unique individual.
What are you planning moving forward?
Can you tell I'm excited about him?
Yeah.
Just a little.
What was it, Joe? Is it Joe that down at church, at the fairgrounds? I think Joe
Christofek?
He interviewed me after First Premio won, and he said, "What about War of Will?" I said, "Well, I'll have to beat him." And he was like, "What?" Because I don't usually, you know, I try to kind of, you know, I just know there's so many things that can go wrong. So I never take anything for granted, but that's just how much I believe in this horse.
Talking with trainer Mark Cassie here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, War of Will, or WOW, if you will, winning the LeCompte Stakes for Mark. He is on the Derby trail now and looking to give Mark a sixth starter in the Kentucky Derby and hopefully his first victory on the first Saturday in May. But, Mark, a long way to go before we get to that point. What have you learned over the years from going down that road to the Kentucky Derby about getting a horse ready and getting a horse to peak on that particular day at Churchill Downs?
It's interesting because I feel like, of course, we haven't had a lot of success yet in the Kentucky Derby. Three or four of them we ran, you know, were real outsiders. I still, till the day I die, will believe the Classic Empire was the best horse in the Kentucky Derby. He got wiped out. So I know you have to have a lot of luck. I think out of my six starters, three of them have been wiped out in the first 100 yards. So that's one thing. But I'm proud of the way, if you look going back, Derby week, if you listen to the clockers and everything, everybody's always said, you know, that our horses are doing well. So I'm proud of that. You know, whether they always had the best chances or whether they were good enough, you know, that was always a question. So what have I learned? I don't know. I treat the Derby one way, but I really don't treat it any way different than if I'm trying to prepare for something else. I like, and it's been well noted, I like to run. I like to get experience. I like to get my horses into, if possible, about a 4-week pattern. And if we can do that, I just think that's the best way. I think they're healthier, they're fitter. I prefer to run than, you know, train.
It keeps them interested too, right? I think these big layoffs, sometimes the horses get bored.
Well, and so much, you know, unless you have a Justify or a horse like that, especially in the Kentucky Derby, you've got to have a lot of experience. And I agree with you. You know, they do get bored. And I don't know. I just find it to be, when I can get a horse in that type of pattern, it works for us. And so you'll see me doing that. You know, somebody said, after the race, are you going to run him back in the Risen Star? And I said, well, of course. I'm, you know, as long as he's happy and healthy, we're not gonna be given any long layoffs. We're gonna do it. And you know, even last week, I ran Shamrock Rose, and it was said to me about, oh, you're running her already? Well, yeah, I'm gonna run her. I want to get her into some type of pattern. And the sooner I do that, the sooner then, you know, it sets us up for the year.
Mark, about 2 minutes until we have to get to our next commercial break here, edging toward the top of the hour here on the Equine Forum. Let's talk about the two horses that you have in the withers today. Opposite ends of the spectrum. You have Sir Winston, who you've saddled each and every start, and then you have Our Brain Trust, who you're saddling for the first time later today. Talk to me about those two.
Well, Sir Winston is an unknown. You know, he's kind of a tall, lanky horse that has had no speed earlier on. He's a homebred for Tracy Farmer, who we're extremely proud to be training for now. And really kind of he was better than he looked on form early on. Just couldn't get his act together, as I often do, send horses to Toronto to try to get them winning and get their confidence up. And he's done that, and he's gotten better and better. But he still has to prove he can run on the dirt with this caliber of horse. So he goes in as a real mystery, to be honest with you. He could win. He could run last. We've done enough work with him on the dirt that he's ready to go. And then as far as our brain trust goes, you know, I'm happy with him. I've had him with me in Ocala, but he's a horse I really know nothing about him. So this again is a bit of a mystery. His pedigree says that a mile and eighth may be a little too far, but we're going to give him a shot. And if it doesn't work, then we'll concentrate on other things. The sooner we find answers to these questions is the sooner we can get them headed in the direction they need to head. So a lot of times you see me doing things, it's for, you know, trying to figure out a path. And I'm kind of a strategizer. So I'm always strategizing, always trying to put the puzzle together. And hopefully we'll find out, you know, a couple pieces of the puzzle today.
He's as good as it gets. He's trainer Mark Cassie here on HRRN. Mark, really appreciate the visit this morning. Thanks for spending a little time with us. Good luck this afternoon. And good luck with WOW.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Mark Cassie, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will indeed receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Going to get to another break. We'll come back with your industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris and Don Little Jr. and Doug Arnold. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at 3, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
Racing fans, don't miss your chance at what could be a $15 to $20 million mandatory payout in Saturday's 20-cent single-ticket Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot at Santa Anita. That's right, Saturday is mandatory payout day, and it is expected Saturday's total Rainbow 6 pool could possibly reach $20 million. We've got great racing on Saturday as well, as Derby hopefuls go a mile and 1/16 in the Grade 3 Robert B. Lewis, and older horses will be center stage in the Grade 2 San Pasquale Stakes at a mile and 1/8. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power. Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Stakes producer, Appealing Zophie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Barron and Pontiff together in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Ready to bring you the Industry Star of the Week, which is presented every single week at this time by Stuart Morris. And when you talk about Stuart Morris, you talk about somebody who is dedicated to his clients. Stuart offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation, and he wants to thank their owners, their clients, and their entire team. Because of you, it is the reason that Stuart has been so successful. And with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. You want to make sure you stop by the Stuart Morris consignment at all the major sales, including the Fasig Tipton sale, which is taking place Monday and Tuesday here in Lexington, Kentucky. The Kentucky Winter Mix Sale begins 10 a.m. Eastern both days, and that means that Fletcher Mock is going to be very busy with his small batch sales. And Fletcher, nice enough to join us. He is your Industry Star of the Week. Fletcher, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here and happy to talk to you guys today.
Yeah, you know, you think back on some of the names that you've been associated with over the years. Moonlight Romance comes to mind, winner of the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint. American Dubai, another one that people are going to be hearing from. And then how about going all the way back to Inca King? You've done it well, my friend.
Thank you. Definitely taken a lot of work and a lot of luck to be associated with some of those horses, but it's definitely been exciting and fulfilling.
All right, so how did Fletcher Mock get started in the sport of thoroughbred racing?
It was really happenstance, I suppose. My dad was a farrier. My mother was married to a guy named Ben Roach who owned Parish Hill Farm. So it was all around me growing up, but didn't have much to do with it until I graduated from Transylvania University in 1999 and moved in with my dad for that summer, expecting to be quickly going off to law school or Peace Corps, and started going to work with him. He was evaluating a lot of weanlings and yearlings. He operates Mock Equine Brokerage. So I was going to work with him every day, just evaluating young horses, and it really caught me. And after a few months, I thought, you know, maybe this is what I should be doing.
Give up a law career for horse racing, huh?
Right. 20 years later, I'm thinking maybe that wasn't the right decision. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm absolutely addicted to it. It's sort of like being an artist. You have something that is a blank slate, and you try to draw a picture. And to take these young horses and try to anticipate what they're going to become, predict what they're going to become, and maybe even if you're training them, try and condition them to become that, is just fulfilling in every way possible.
Yeah, the animals make you fall in love with the game, right? I mean, that's got to be it, because there's no reason that anybody would want to get up every morning at the crack of dawn and bang their head against the wall, except the animals are just so fantastic.
Exactly, especially when it's 5 degrees out like it was last week.
What do you like most, Fletcher, about what you do and you know, your chosen profession? What do you like most about being involved?
Gosh, there's so much to like about it. I think specifically being outdoors, being a part of the environment is exciting for me, to watch the sun rise and set, and, you know, horses grazing is fun. To be able to go to the races in the afternoon and scream and yell at the top of your lungs while a horse comes down the lane is every bit as fun for me. The people you meet are pretty exciting. We're meeting people that are absolute wild cards. They're, you know, super characters that have been uber successful in their businesses and just throw everything at it, and it's fun to sort of learn from them as well. So it's just pretty comprehensive. Every aspect of it I enjoy.
How do you describe your approach and your philosophy with small batch sales? What are you trying to accomplish?
So small batch sales, I think, is trying to be a bit unique in that we want to remain relatively small. We're trying to basically say we think a horse gets best representation when it's surrounded by fewer lots. So if we could keep our consignment at sort of 8 to 10 horses max per book or per catalog, we think we have an opportunity to really have a command of the ship, to know who's looking at the horses, how well the horses are showing, which show people are showing the horses better than others, so that we can tweak the adjustments that need to be made so that these horses can be presented in the best light possible, and have the most likely opportunity to catch someone's eye. And if we're able to do that, we feel like we've been successful.
Yeah, I love the concept, and I love the name of your company. I mean, it's very clever, and it's very descriptive of what you do.
Thanks. Yeah, it kind of hit me one day about 10 years ago when I started Small Batch Thoroughbred. So I've been in, this would be my 20th year in the business this summer, but in 2007-08, I created Small Batch Thoroughbreds. It just sort of, I was racking my brain trying to figure out what would be the most descriptive way to describe how I want to conduct business. And I was looking probably at a bottle of bourbon that said small batch something. And I thought, well, let's look at, explore what small batch means. And it fits me because I don't really like being a part of a large organization. So it's fun that I've been able to pursue it. And small batch sales is, I think, off to a pretty good start. I think a lot of folks are beginning to understand what we're doing and appreciate the service we're trying to offer.
Well, Fletcher, this Industry Star of the Week segment was the brainchild of Stuart Morris. So he obviously has a lot of respect for what you do. He suggested that you be the Industry Star of the Week here on this Saturday morning, and we couldn't be happier to have you on board and really appreciate the visit. It's a segment that shines a spotlight on people doing positive things in the sport and putting the sport's best foot forward. You're certainly doing that. You've been doing it for a long time. Keep up the great work, and congratulations.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much. And be sure and swing by our consignment at Fasic Tipped. Anyone who's listening, we have two beautiful graded stakes winning in place mares that are offered for sale.
He's a good marketing guy, too. You see the way he stuck that in? Well done, brother.
Have to take advantage of the opportunity. All the best.
Thanks Fletcher. Guys. All right, make sure you stop by and see his consignment. Tell him you heard him right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network as our Industry Star of the Week. Don Little Jr. kicks off hour number two. We'll get to him next right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too. It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monoboy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Pizzo. Monoboy Girl has won the distance. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on. Busy morning here on HRRN. This show all presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence here in the month of February. Of course, it is Groundhog Day, and we started the show by telling you that Punxsutawney Phil did indeed predict an early spring this year. That happened shortly after 7:30 Eastern time this morning up in Pennsylvania. So that's good news for everybody who has been dealing with some frigid temperatures, record chilling temperatures over the course of the past week or so, and kind of gives you something to look forward to. And we know that spring is right around the corner, thanks to Phil. And in case you're wondering, his success rate his accuracy rate when he makes a prediction every year is right around 39%. So that's maybe not a great percentage in terms of a groundhog determining if spring's going to be here or not. But, you know, imagine this. If Punxsutawney Phil was a horse trainer, he'd be Todd Pletcher. Right?
Yeah, or maybe Jason Service.
Yeah, right. Maybe Jimmy Jerkins. I know that's what our next guest, Don Little Jr., is hoping for, as he will be represented by Mijos, the Mucho Macho Man winner, in this afternoon's Holy Bowl at Gulfstream. We'll talk to Don coming up in just a minute, but want to remind you that if you missed any portion of this program, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can listen to the podcast of this show and all of our shows. They're there for you, horseracingradio.net. And if you are just joining us, we made an announcement at the top of the show. The website was down yesterday for maintenance, much longer than we expected. Many people reached out to us and asked for the podcast of yesterday's Weekend Stakes Preview Show, which is presented by Naira Betts. And that podcast is now up on the website. So if you're looking for selections from Jude and Anthony for this weekend, head over there and you can check out the podcast right now. It is posted, horseracingradio.net. Poll question today, you can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, goes like this. You have three major prep races on the docket for this afternoon, and they are happening from coast to coast. You have the Withers in New York, you have the Holy Bull in Florida, and the Robert B. Lewis at Santa Anita. Assuming that the Derby winner comes out of one of those three races today, which of those three is most likely to produce the Derby winner? And currently, right now, it's no contest. 70% of HRN Nation weighing in and saying it's the Holy Bull in Florida, which might be music to the ears of Don Little Jr. from Centennial Farms, who joins us now on HRRN. Don, welcome, my friend.
Good morning, guys. Nice to be here again. And, yeah, it's a big day today, but you also have to remember, being the New Englander, there's another thing to be cheering for this weekend that could make a little bit of history as well.
All right, Don Little, thanks for the visit today, my friend. You can't start off like that on my show.
I understand that was the best way to start.
Yeah.
Right, well, at least for the meantime, we still have six. Just remember that. There's still six rings up there in black and gold, at least for now.
Understood.
What's up, man? Everything good?
Everything's great. You know, couldn't be happier with how our horse is doing. And again, it's nice to have the attention. But again, he's got to step up here today, and first time around two turns. But he's doing great. He's a pleasure to be around.
Yeah, it's always part of the tension of Kentucky Derby season is the fact that the horses are always having to continue to prove themselves. Does it weigh on your mind much when you're sitting around thinking about it?
Of course it does. I mean, it's you always wonder, well, is he going to make the next jump up? Is he going to handle the next challenge? I mean, it's you know, people don't really understand how horses are so similar to professional athletes in general. I mean, look at what's happened with Jared Goff of the Rams. I mean, you know, he was a nice quarterback. As well, is he going to step up to this next level against the Patriots? Is this horse going to go two turns like we hope he does? You know, it's one thing that nobody can really weigh on until the challenge is faced. So there's always that question. There's always that hope. But going into it, we feel pretty confident that he's going to run a good race. And, you know, if he does step up to the next level, we'll be in good shape.
Don, I was super impressed with his effort in the Mucho Macho Man Stakes. How about you? Were you as impressed as I was? To me, it was visually impressive.
I thought it was very impressive. Not only the fact that, you know, how he grinded it out at the end, but, you know, he's the type of horse, you have to ask him to do it, but when you ask him, he does it. I mean, and that's in everything, all the stuff around the barn. When Jimmy asked the exercise rider to do a few different things to, you know, get dirt in his face or do whatever, nothing seems to bother him. So, you know, that's one thing that's very valuable going down this road that is so demanding and grueling on a horse.
You lost your jockey to Maximus Mischief. but you've got the best jockey in the United States riding today. How did all that come about?
I think it, you know, people can speculate. I mean, it kind of just fell into place. You know, who would have known that the horse Johnny was supposed to ride in the Withers isn't going? And I mean, it just kind of happened the way it was. And, you know, Jimmy, he's very noncommittal and going forward. You know, we weren't 100% sure we were going to be running today, you know, even 2 weeks after the Mucho Macho Man. We wanted to see how he does, and Jimmy's so hands-on. That's, you know, sort of let the pieces fall where they may lie, and we're very fortunate to have Johnny today.
Obviously, Don, this is not the ultimate goal. That comes on the first Saturday in May if Mijos is fortunate enough to make it there. What do you need to see from him this afternoon to keep you moving in that direction?
Well, I mean, I just think you want him to finish strong. He doesn't have to win. He doesn't have to peak right now. You want to see a good effort. And as you guys know, you know, our philosophy in this game is to build an equity in a horse over a period of time. The Derby is a great pinnacle for everybody in racing. It's not mandatory to build an equity in a horse, but it's great to get there. And, of course, we wouldn't put a horse in a position that, you know, that would be a bit over his head. And I think what we want to see today is handling the two turns, finishing strong, and, you know, learning from it.
Well, speaking of, you bring up learning, Don. I think that's a great word to use. I asked Mark Cassie in the first half of the program what he has learned from going down the Kentucky Derby trail so many times in his career. What things has he learned as a trainer? As an owner, what things have you learned about putting a horse on the Derby trail and getting him to the Kentucky Derby?
I think you just got to be so grateful for having the opportunity because it is so difficult. And you know, to have been there before, you know, Wicked Strong was, I think, second choice going into the Derby in 2014. You know, it weighs a lot on people. And, you know, there are some sleepless nights, but, you know, you're very grateful and fortunate to be in this position. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have the partners that we have now that are patient and understand the ultimate goal. And it is a day-to-day operation. I mean, anything can happen with these individuals and athletes. And, you know, you keep your fingers crossed and you wear the same socks and, you know, all the superstitions are out there. And you know, you hope it works again. And it makes memories for people, you know, that will last a lifetime. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, you guys do it so well. Your Centennial Farms is just a great partnership group. Your modus operandi is second to none, and you know, I'm a big fan of what you do, and I know you treat the horses in a manner which gives them a career and not just a meet.
Yeah, and then we're very fortunate that a lot of the partners that are involved with us have that same passion about the individual animals. And, you know, I think right now we've got 7 different horses around this country that were Centennial racehorses at partners' homes, farms, retirement places, just within our own individual network, let alone the great organizations that have been formed, you know, for this purpose.
Don, how about the name? Where'd the name Mijos come from?
Well, that you can thank Susie Rasher, who is our social media director. She has quite a few cats in her possession. And to the female side of feline flatline, Mijos is the god of war who has a lion's head. So that's where it came about.
Yeah, perfect. Being out of a lion heart mare, that makes perfect sense. Mijos 5-2 on the morning line in that Holy Bull Stakes for owner Centennial Farms later this afternoon. Don Little Jr. from Centennial with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Don, when you know, Centennial's been so prominent in this game for so long. Going back to your father, you've had so much success in the sport. When Don Little Jr. gets a few minutes just to be by yourself and really think back on your life in racing, what are a couple of the moments that jump off the page to you?
I mean, I would say the most memorable when I was first starting in it, you know, it has to be the Belmont. I actually was standing away from the group of partners at the time. You know, I was just still starting with Dad, and I was doing it part-time, still playing professional polo and hiding behind one of the stanchions of Belmont Park and slowly making my way closer and closer to the group as Julie was coming down the stretch. I mean, that's something that, you know, I'll never forget. And to spend that time in the winner's circle with such people as Scotty Shuloff, my father, a gentleman by the name of Fred Martin, who's still with us in these partnerships today, Julie. I mean, that was probably the most memorable that you would have to put down in the books.
Yeah, talking about Colonial Affair, of course, who raced in those Centennial colors, won the Belmont Stakes for Don Little Jr., his dad, and the entire team there. What a special day that was. Don, listen, we have to get to a commercial break, but really do appreciate the visit here today. All the best when me hosts later this afternoon, and we'll see if he can get the victory for you and keep you on that Derby trail. Good luck.
Thank you very much, and it's always a pleasure, guys.
Yeah, go Rams. I think we lost them before that, but I had to sneak. It's on tape now. I'm going to cut it out and send it to him just so he knows that I got that in there before we let him go. Mijo's ultra-talented. And like Don said, he has to prove that he can step up to this level and perform at this level. And that's what so many of the owners and trainers are trying to figure out right now. Do we belong? Are we a contender or are we a pretender?
Yeah, well, that's the game. And, of course, Mijo's has to get by the two turns today, which is a big question mark for some horses. I think he'll pass that test. And like Don said, he doesn't need to win. He just needs to run well.
Yep. Yeah, and he has a great pedigree. I mean, being by out of a Lionheart mare by Cairo Prince, he certainly has a pedigree that says he can go two turns.
Yeah, one of the better freshman sires of 2018, Cairo Prince. And a lot of people like the Cairo Princes that they currently own and train.
All right. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to visit with Doug Arnold from Buck Pond Farm. He is in our studio here this morning. We'll get a chance to catch up with him on our Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. We'll preview the Buck Pond Stallions. There are some really, really good stallions out there that we're going to tell you about in just about 5 minutes. So stay tuned for that interview. If you missed any portion of the show, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast. All of our interviews available for you there, too. Horseracingradio.net. You can hear that interview with Kent DeSormo in the first half of the program, Mark Cassie. And then if you missed any portion of the Don Little interview just a short time ago, you can head back over there and check out that interview too. But it is time for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. JT couldn't resist this one. This is all for you, my friend. Washington sire Pontiff gets first foal in Kentucky. How about that? Did you know there was a sire named Pontiff?
Yes, I did, and I read that story yesterday, and I cracked up. That's good.
Well, here's the story. If you haven't seen it, you can read the whole thing at bloodhorse.com. But the first reported foal by Warlock Stables' first crop sire, Pontiff, arrived January 30th at Postmaster Farm near Lexington. The filly is the first foal out of the Midnight Loot daughter, Midnight Hope, who is a foal sister to Grade 1 placed Black Type winner Kelly's Humor. The dam is co-owned by Tim Floyd, Helen Murick, Samantha Hansen, and Radina Barrett. Floyd also owns Pontiff. So some cool things there. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. Pontiff. Well, hopefully Pontiff gets out there and has a bunch of winners. They can name him after me.
Yeah, in case you're wondering, Midnight Hope expected to be bred back later this year to California Chrome. So that's how that one works. And you can head over to bloodhorse.com to learn more. And you can have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news, along with analytics, entries, results, race replay videos, and more, all at your fingertips with Blood Horse Daily. That's on the Blood Horse Daily app, and it's right there on your phone, and you can get it every single day, updated throughout the day, or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Simply go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up. And we're back to talk about the stallions at Buck Pond Farm with Doug Arnold next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is represented in 2018 by the exciting stakes winning filly Safe to Say and stakes placed runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. While seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti has produced Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong, along with Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs and Miss Technicality, winner of the Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti at Castleton Lions.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Racing at Gulfstream Park is heating up with world-class horse racing during our championship meet every Wednesday through Sunday until March 30th. Catch top-class graded stakes action and great wagering opportunities every week. And be sure to get your tickets now for the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 30th. For our full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence. This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score.
Hootenanny and Frankie Dettori in full flight on the outside. Luck of the Kitten tries to keep them at bay, but Hootenanny gets the lead, and it's going to be Hootenanny, perfectly ridden by Frankie Dettori, to win the juvenile turf.
Conveyance leads it. Kind of Giant. Here comes Dublin down the outside. Conveyance. Dublin making one big surge at him. Conveyance wins the Southwest by a half.
They're at the top of the lane. Has Niagara Causeway stolen this one? He's opened up three and he keeps on going.
Who will win the Travers? It will be Too Close to Call. VE Day surging.
Well, it was indeed VE Day who won that Travers Stakes, and all of those calls you just heard pertaining to the stallion standing at Buck Pond Farm near Versailles. here in Kentucky. And Doug Arnold is in studio with us here this morning for our Stallion Spotlight segment. This segment brought to you every week by our friends at Red Brand Fence. Doug, I mean, first of all, those race calls, they get you pumped up, right? Because
Oh, yeah.
The horses were so powerful in winning those races. And for me, personally, Wildcat Red was a horse that I just fell in love with. I loved his heart. I loved his tenacity. And I can still remember, we kind of followed him around with our broadcasts. And it seemed like every time that we were there, Wildcat Red was there in a big race, too. And he showed up every single time.
Oh, he was unbelievable. Sound. Won from 6 furlongs to a mile and an eighth. You know, he was right there on the lead or close there too every time. And he remained sound his whole career. So, Don Little owning Wicked Strong, you know, just got nipped. We should have razzed him a little bit.
Well, you were sitting there. You could have broken in.
That was your own job, not mine.
Who's this guy?
That's right, too. Well, we're going to talk more about those stallions standing at Buck Pond here in a minute. But first of all, I want to congratulate you. You've been on quite a roll lately, including a very special day recently where Buck Pond, being a smaller, kind of a boutique almost operation. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
No, that's right.
It bred 2 stakes winners on the same day. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was a great thrill. As you all know, how hard it is to get wins in this game. So, of course, Next Shares had won graded stakes, won a grade one stake at Keeneland, but he won the San Gabriel, just got up to win, and then Fancy Dress Party at Gulfstream won the Glitter Woman by 5 lengths. She's undefeated, and Ellen J. Foxwoods, I mean, they've done a remarkable job with Jason Litt and Alex Elise and Jamie Roth. The whole team has been magnificent, and they've just really done a great job, and my hat's off to them. They've really done, they placed her the proper way and given her, you know, substantial time in between. So we're looking forward to 2019. Looks like a good year.
That's good. Well, it is tough when you have a small farm. You don't have hundreds of horses born every year. You have a, you know, small operation, and to have 2 stakes winners in a year would be great, but to have 2 in one day, fantastic. And those horses have both been on little rolls. So, you know, last, 6 months or so, it's been a lot of fun to watch both of those horses run there. They're good stories.
Yeah, I think Next Shares could have been closer in the Pegasus World Cup turf that we saw last weekend, too.
Got boxed
in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the same thing happened to him in the Breeders' Cup. And he just was on the inside, had to check 3 or 4 times. So I'm not making excuses, but he's been a magnificent horse. And one thing that we did a few years ago is that we were buying mares pretty much to breed to our stallions to try to make the stallions. And since that time, you know, since probably 2013, something like that, we started buying mares, you know, market breeding to increase the good horses that we have. And it's really kind of starting to pay off right now. And we have had a great year the last 2 years in selling yearlings, which is usually a pretty good indicator of, you know, what kind of quality that you're selling. We sold the highest price cross traffic in the country to Don Little, and he's coming back. He's working now. His name's Jay Walker. We're really excited about him. And so it makes it a lot more fun to be breeding horses that are more prevalent and more important, you know, to the game.
Yeah. So, anytime you get one at the top level, it, you know,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and it picks up everybody's head too.
Yeah, sure. And everybody starts, you know, wanting to buy your horses more, at them, and they're giving you a little bit more consideration than they did before. So we've kind of transformed our operation so that we can breed the best that we can possibly get. We've lowered our numbers. We're in the process of doing that now. And I've got a bunch of guys that work for me and girls that work for me that are second to none. They're really, really committed to, you know, making us, very relevant and creating the right kinds of horses. So, it's really exciting. We're having fun.
it's one of those things too. When you have those wins, everybody at the farm gets excited.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you happy to get up in the morning because you know you're doing something
that's
producing a really good product. And there's nothing better than to have your staff excited and happy about coming to work every day.
And we're all in this together. So when things go good, I want to make sure that they benefit from bonuses and what have you, because this is too tough a business not to be all in with. You're all in with your time, so you might as well benefit and do well.
Talking with Doug Arnold from Buck Pond Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your Stallion Spotlight presented by Red Brand Fence. Doug, you and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about your philosophy, and you have a unique approach when it comes to acquiring mares for your stallions and what you're trying to do for the people that are involved with you. Talk a little bit about your philosophy.
Well, when we first started in the game, I was a little bit late coming to it. I'd worked for Ashland Oil before I got in here. So, this is way back in 1980. I realized that I was behind most of my cohorts. And so I decided to just make my own pathway and not worry about what anybody did or didn't do. So every two or three years in this game, you got to kind of reinvent yourself and figure out what you want to do and how you want to go forth. And we all know the trials and tribulations. It's if this is not a work of passion, then you won't be successful. Yep. You have to be in it every day. So basically, we've tried to carve out a little bit of the stallion business for ourselves. We obviously can't, buy the larger stallions, but that's what we've done with Donnerill. We had Donnerill Court, and he was a leading freshman sire his first year. He had Ruler's Court that won the Norfolk by 14 lengths, and then we had Bernstein the next year. So that was kind of the pathway that we wanted to stay on the trajectory. We didn't do as many stallions after that, but we've started to get back into it with the idea that there's more than one way to do this thing. Upon getting back into the stallion business, I realized that there are not many people breeding to the lower end stallions. It's a struggle every day. That you're just not as relevant as you were in the past. And I had one breeder tell me he's not going to breed to any stallion that doesn't stand for 35,000. That was the moment that I thought maybe I should raise all my stud fees to 35,000. But it's been a struggle. And I know if there's anybody out there listening that has, has the lower end stains, they know, from what I'm talking about. And we've had, an idea in this game that you have to breed 150 mares to make a stallion. I don't think that's accurate. I think if you breed 15 good mares, I'm talking about young mares that had the right kind of pedigree, the look, the racing ability, you can stick with a couple of these horses and make them go. And if they're good, they'll make it. If they're bad, they won't. They were, good stallions are born, not made. So we've had a pretty good success pattern. We have Conveyance has 2-year-olds this year. His yearlings have averaged 25,000 from 5,000. We had a hard time getting the $5,000 stud fee, but in the sales, we sold 2 yearlings for 85,000 apiece, one for 75, one for 72, one for 70, one for 50. That's making money. So it just goes to show that, even more now than before, these buyers, they know a good racehorse. They know a horse. So if they're willing to pay their money for it, then that's kind of telling you that you may have something that's okay, And, Conveyance, he could really run. He's the only horse that the Legends bought that they made money with. Okay, yeah. This is the Legends, Bob Baffert, Zito, and Lucas.
Lucas.
And, they sold this horse for $3 million. He won 4 in a row. He ran 9 and change. He's out of a Holy Bull mare. He's a big, gorgeous son of Indian Charlie, and he's got back class in his family. It's a family of Meenal, Hadif, who was leading sire in Texas. It's a family of the great Alcibiades, so a lot of back class, and we're hoping that, he's going to make it in a big way.
Well, you have those horses, and you said the stallions are born. not made. And a lot of times people run out of patience with their stallions, and we see that happening all the time. A horse will be sold to another country or whatever, and then all of a sudden their horses start winning here in the United States, and then the previous owners are lamenting the fact that they let that horse go. But sometimes you just need to hang in there with the horse. We talked to Bernie Sams about this the other day, and how Claiborne's hung in with a few of their stallions, and it's really paid off for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think you're a guy that gets involved intimately with your operation. You know exactly what's going on, and you have the patience to keep those horses around and to support them and do what you think's right. And you only need one, right?
Right. Well, Jude, yeah. I'll tell you one thing along that line. We, you know, it's been an occupational hazard, because if people don't breed to your stallion, you gotta see what's your next alternative. And I get that. I do the same thing. I sold, we had a horse named Seattle Fitz that we bought from Terry Finley. And, in his first crop, I think I only had 23 foals, but we had the fastest work at OBS. We had the co-fastest work at, this is a 2-year-old training at Keeneland, and the fastest work at Barrett's. And so there was a lot of excitement about him. The next year, I bred 115 mares to him. And then the next year, it was really difficult to find anybody that wanted to breed to him. And so I sold him back to Argentina to the farm that had bred him. And they bred 4 or 5 grade one stakes winners by him. But at the time, I mean, I never look back on it as a bad thing, because the amount of money, you know, that we got. You know, Take Charge Indy, you know, they didn't bring him back. He did really well, but, you know, not well enough to come back. So, yeah, I get it. You just have to be much more proactive. You sit on these horses the next year, really, they're not much worth much.
Yeah, and you talk about the lower-end stallions, the lower-priced stallions, and 5 stallions standing at Buck Pond Farm. You can visit buckpond.com to learn more about each of them. We've touched on Wildcat Red. We've touched on conveyance. Just because they're value-priced doesn't mean they're lesser quality. And I'll give you an example of that. You stand Hootenanny, right? Precocious.
We did stand Hootenanny. He's back at Wesley Ward's.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, year, yeah.
Okay, I thought
but
he was
great,
still there.
A great horse. I mean, I love him to death. A very fast, good-looking son of Quality Road.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Breeders' Cup winner.
Breeders' Cup winner.
Right.
Absolutely.
As
won the Breeders' Cup turf.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Second in the Prix Mornay. Just got beat.
And he was standing for what? 5,000.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, what more do you want?
No, that's, and see, that is a philosophical difference, you know, is that a lot of people say, well, you know, I made $100,000 on this yearling. Well, I had 75 in the stud fee. So did I make any money? How about the use of my money for 2 years? And, but also, One thing I didn't talk a lot about VE Day, but here's a horse by English Channel. I mean, at the time we got him, he had stood in New York for 1 year, but I mean, English Channel is going to be a great. He's already a great sire, but why can't he be a sire of sires? He's by Smart Strike, and this horse VE Day is out of a deputy minister mare. We know how many top sires have been out of deputy minister's mares. He is from one of the best families that Darby Dan has ever had. It's Warfront's family, Unbridled Song, Brian's Time, Sunshine Forever, Dinoformer. I mean, the predisposition towards brilliance as a sire is there. His looks are stellar. He's 16-1 and a magnificent animal. Why can't this horse make it? Won the Travers,
he's
grade
pretty.
One.
Yeah, I'm looking at him on the website right now. That picture you have on the website is spectacular.
Yeah, and see, we had 3 foals last year at the farm, you know, that chipped down, and all 3 were good foals out of ordinary mares. And then we had 1 really good mare, a mare that was greatest stakes place in France. And the foal, the filly, was outstanding. I mean, big time. So, you know, this is what it's all about. It's not about smoke and mirrors. It's not about how much you stand for. It's not about what you did ultimately. It's about what you produce, plain and simple.
Yeah, well said. He's Doug Arnold, Buck Pond Farm, the Stallion Spotlight segment here on the Equine Forum this morning. Doug, listen, we're up against a break, but really appreciate you stopping in. And really more so appreciate you bringing the coffee and the donuts this morning.
I love it, and that's why we haven't heard from Jude. He's been with the donuts and the coffee the whole time.
Our new favorite guest, Doug Arnold.
Hey, let me thank you all very much for having me on. It's a thrill and an honor, and I appreciate it greatly.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Keep
any
up the
Saturday
good work.
You're around, just come on in.
Yeah.
This is too early for me. I'm usually stay in bed at least till 9:30, 10 o'clock.
I don't believe that for a minute. Buckpond.com is where you can learn more about all those stallions and read more and contact Doug and tell him you heard him right here on your Stallion Spotlight segment presented by Red Brand Fence. We'll get to one more break. We'll come back and... Well, we'll hear from Terry Finley coming out of this one, and we'll talk a little bit about that Robert B. Lewis Stakes out at Santa Anita. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
This successful son of AP Indy has sired six millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast, a multiple Grade 1 winner and runner-up in the $16 million Pegasus World Cup. This year, Flatter is adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record at stud. In the auction ring, Flatter topped the 2018 Fiesing Tipton July sale with a $520,000 yearling. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Hidden Scroll, turning heads and impressing in victory. He's wrapped up. Hidden Scroll, wow. He won by 10 or 12.
Hidden Scroll, the three-year-old son of Darley stallion Hardspun, could not have been any more impressive, breaking his maiden by a whopping 14 lengths on debut at Gulfstream on Saturday for Judmont Farms and trainer Bill Mott. Because of that effort, Hidden Scroll was named a TDN Rising Star while earning a 104 buyer speed figure, the highest in his crop, and tied with Justify as the co-highest debut buyer for a two-year-old or three-year-old in 5 years. Wow. That runaway victory makes Hidden Scroll your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hardspun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. No stallion standing for less than $60,000 can top Hardspun's seven Grade 1 winners since 2012. Learn more about Hardspun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
That's what everybody's doing across the country is they're trying to figure out, you know, how to get the performance that they need to get the points to get to the Derby, but not go over the top. You know, let's face it, we all talk about it in the industry every year about, you know, trying to make a decision to go to the Preakness and the Belmont because you have a colt better suited for one of those two races. But that never works. That never works. I mean, you just, the draw, the attraction of the Derby for, you know, the vast, vast majority of us is all-encompassing, and it's too strong of a force vector, you know, to go elsewhere if you're in the position to get into the field of 20. So it's amazing what the Derby does to all of us, and I'm just really... I'm sure we all are. We're just glad that it's part of our business. It really gives us something to look forward to for the first 5 months of every single year.
That's owner Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds talking about that lure of the Kentucky Derby. And it's just something that if you have a horse that's on the Derby trail, it's something that, as Terry said, is all-encompassing. And he has a horse on the Derby trail right now. That is Gunmetal Gray. Terry joined us, that soundbite coming from his interview on the same program right before Gunmetal Gray won the Sham on January 5th and did it very impressively, stamped himself as a contender on the road to the Kentucky Derby at that point. He has to continue that progression later today in the Robert B. Lewis Stakes at Santa Anita. And in case you're wondering, that is one of three Derby prep races on the docket today, each of them offering the winner 10 points for a victory. The Robert B. Lewis Grade 3, mile and a 16th on the main track, and it comes up at 5:53 Eastern. That's 2:53 out on the West Coast. Race number 6 on that program at Santa Anita today.
Yeah, it's a very interesting race. It kind of, at first glance, it looks like three horses that are major contenders, and then the other three are just kind of like field fillers. Obviously, Mucho Gusto is going to attract most of the attention, being from the Baffert stable. He's won 2 out of 3 races. His 2 victories came sprinting, 6 furlongs and 7 furlongs, and then he stretched out at Los Alamitos, and then Los Alamitos Futurity finished 2nd to Improbable, who's a very good horse. So it wasn't a bad effort. He got a very nice 95 Brisnet speed figure, and you know, he looks like he could actually make the lead in here and go all the way. There's not a tremendous amount of speed in this race. Nolo Contesto, to his outside, is also a horse that's developing. He sprinted once, finished 5th, came back going a mile. That's a 2-turn mile at Santa Anita. And he won nicely with a 94. He's by Pioneer of the Nile out of a Congrats mare. He's bred to run all day and into the night. And you know, he's got Joel Rosario back aboard for the 3rd straight time. John Sadler trains him. He's a contender. And then Gunmetal Gray, who will either be the favorite or 2nd choice by virtue of his win in the Sham Stakes. Now, he's been showing a tendency to fall back early in his races, which concerns me because it was already raining at Santa Anita at 6 o'clock this morning. And if the track comes up sloppy and sealed, if he falls back like he has been doing, he may have a lot to do. He's shown some speed in the past, and maybe Mike Smith will try to keep him closer, but I don't know how that will affect his close.
One thing that will help him on a wet track is that pedigree. Being by exchange rate out of an include mare, should have no problem handling the wet surface.
Yeah, he should like it, you know, but you never know till you try.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that makes this race, you know, kind of a question mark. Some people like Magnificent McCool, Doug O'Neill's entrant. The thing that scares me about him is he's had 2 turf races and they've both been good. He broke his maiden last time on the turf.
Yep.
His dirt races maybe not quite as good. So I don't know what that's going to be like for him, but he also has an excellent mud track pedigree. He's by Giant's Causeway out of a mine shaft, so he should be able to handle that.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to avoid a wet track out there today. When you take a look at the forecast, at least according to weather.com here, 100% chance of rain from noon until 3 o'clock, and then it dips down to 80% at 4. So expect a wet racetrack. I'd imagine you're going to have several scratches with horses, with races being taken off the turf today, I'm going to assume, right? Yeah. They're not going to run them on the grass.
Well, they actually canceled the turf stakes that they had
they did,
today
okay.
to run next They're week, so they knew them. This was coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an all-dirt. There's a mandatory payout in the pick 6 today. They're expecting a $10 million pool.
Wow.
For the 20-cent pick 6.
Wow.
So they're expecting some tickets to be flying in there today, and it's all dirt. So, you know, we'll,
and maybe some short fields too.
You know, could be some short fields. We'll see what happens, but big day out there. I'm going to blame all this weather on my son. He went to Florida. It rained all week. He came here to film City of Light and Accelerate, getting off the trailers at Lane's
End
Farm.
The weather was miserable.
It was below 0, and now he goes back to California where he lives, and it's raining again. So he's a jinx. I told him that the other day. I said, you're a jinx. So anyway, weather's not going to be too good in California this weekend?
At HRRN is our Twitter feed, and we asked you a poll question at the top of the show pertaining to the three Derby prep races this afternoon. Which of today's three Kentucky Derby prep races is most likely to produce the Derby winner? Assuming that the Derby winner comes out of one of those three today, of course. You have the Withers, the Holy Bull, the Robert B. Lewis, and again, the Holy Bull. This is surprising to me. I didn't think that we would have one of these three that would stand out significantly from the others, but that's exactly the case. The Holy Bull generating 70% of the vote from HRN Nation right now. So most people thinking that's going to be the race. If the Derby winner races this weekend in one of those three races, that's the race that the Derby winner comes out of. Jude, you touched on it at the top of the show when I asked you which one you might vote for, and you said, yeah, probably the Holy Bull because you have some quality runners in there. Not that you don't in the other races, but the Holy Bull is certainly one. When you take a look at the horses in there, you say, okay, maybe that's the one that the Derby winner comes out of.
Yeah, well, it's a 10-horse field. Maximus Mischief is in there. He's been perfect, 3 for 3. He's won from 5.5 furlongs to 1 mile and 1/8. He's buying into Mischief, so lots to like there. We talked to Don Little Jr. about Mijos. He's another horse that has captured a lot of people's hearts and minds, and he's on a lot of Derby lists. He ran third, going 6 furlongs first time out, and then won his next two, including the Mucho Macho Man Stakes, a one-turn mile at Gulfstream. You've got Garter and Ty, who's an interesting horse. He's a Florida bred. He had a little bit of trouble in the Mucho Macho Man, came flying at the end. He's got some talent, this horse. He's never been out of the money. He's run 7 times. He's made $283,000. He's a horse that I think is a contender in there for sure. And then Federal Case, a lot of people talking about him. He broke his maiden at Keeneland. He was sold at the Keeneland November sale for $650,000. Todd Pletcher debuted him for his stable on December the 23rd. He won an allowance race at Gulfstream with a 94 Brisnet speed figure. So he looks like a horse. And Todd's been quoted as saying that he's excited about running him. He's by Gemologist. So lots of interesting horses in that race. And I can see why everybody's hopping on the Holy Bull.
Could be another big day for trainer Todd Pletcher. He also saddles one of the favorites in the Withers in New York. That's number 3, Moretti, who is owned by Rapoli Stable and Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners. And Moretti by Medaglia d'Oro is a horse that has shown a lot of ability in just 2 starts. Puts the blinkers on today, which is a move that he hasn't had blinkers in his first 2 starts. So they add him today. We'll see if that improves his performance. But he's been pretty good, including that maiden victory last time out.
Yeah, that was a nice win. And he ran second in his race before going a 1-turn mile. So he went from a 1-turn mile to 1.8 miles. Answered that question rather quickly. He's by Medaglia d'Oro out of a Concerto mare. He ought to like whatever kind of track they throw at him. And Manny Franco takes the reins today with Johnny V riding Mijos in Florida. So that's an interesting race too. I mean, it's hard to believe that a former claimer is the favorite.
Yeah.
Tax. My man Ben Colebrook must not be too thrilled about that.
Yeah, I think it, based on that third place effort at odds of 17-1 in the Remsen in his juvenile finale, that was on December 1st. But tax breaking from the inside, that's going to be an interesting scenario for him. Junior Alvarado aboard for the first time, has some tactical speed, so the break could be critical for this horse. But I think, quite honestly, Jude, I think at 2-1 on the morning line, he is way, way undervalued in this spot here today. I think you got to play against him. There's too many other good horses in here to take a short price on a horse like tax.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think the horse on the outside, not that Brady, is an interesting possibility. He's won his last 2 by open links. They were both at Aqueduct. But he's a horse that's going places. He's by Big Brown. And then we heard Mark Cassie talk about his 2 horses. He's kind of on a fact-finding mission today with our Brain Trust and Sir Winston trying to determine whether he wants to put them on the Derby trail or do something else with them. Lucky Lee is a nice horse too. Lucky Lee's won his last 2 starts by open links, both at Parks. he's by flatter out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare. So there's some contention in here. It's not the toughest of the races. And you mentioned Moretti, who's certainly got the credentials to do something good.
Of course, you can hear analysis of all the major stakes races across the country today by downloading or listening to the podcast of yesterday's weekend stakes preview. That's up there on our website now at horseracingradio.net. Jude and Anthony, the Big A, go through all of the stakes races and provide their selections. So head over there now, horseracingradio.net. And don't forget, a podcast of this show will be up there for you right after we finish up at 10 a.m. Eastern. Interviews with Kent DeSormo and Mark Cassie and Don Little Jr. And, of course, Doug Arnold at Buck Pond and Fletcher Mock from Small Batch Stables, our industry star of the week. All those interviews, part of this program today. You can check out that podcast, horseracingradio.net, in just a little bit. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up for you. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby, experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton that's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Power.
Taproot is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taproot. Taproot still in front. Master Plan too late. Taproot will do it.
Passion.
It's Taproot. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taproot has taken the lead. Taproot and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taproot and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taproot, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taproot set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taproot ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Great Estakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taproot, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
All right, we got a brand new wheat sub here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain. Jimmy John's still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat sub. It's going once, going twice. Sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
2 years ago today, Motown scored an authoritative victory in the Grade 2 Remsen in his stakes debut before going on to demonstrate an impressive turn of foot when winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at 3. New to Coolmore America for 2019, Motown is a highly credentialed, beautiful young son of Uncle Mo, who has established himself as a leading sire with his runners on both dirt and turf. Motown is very attractively priced, and being such a good-looking horse, it is no surprise that he is proving incredibly popular with breeders. Call Coolmore America to book to him now before it's too late.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mike Penn and Jude Feld back with you. Just a couple of minutes left before we wrap up this Saturday morning edition of the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. 91 days, 7 hours, 51 minutes, and wait for it, 38 seconds until the Run for the Roses, Churchill Downs, first Saturday in May. We will be there. Is your official radio home in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. Again, this year, we'll bring you that coast-to-coast worldwide coverage on radio of the Run for the Roses. The only place you'll hear it on radio is with us, NBC Sports, and Westwood One, and we'll be there all week long with programming. You can see a complete 2019 broadcast schedule on our website, horseracingradio.net. Busy show today, JT. We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, I'm breathless. Jeez.
Yeah, it's been kind of a whirlwind. Our thanks to all of our guests, Kent DeSormo, who took the time to visit with Jude and Anthony yesterday on Express Bet Radio. That interview, just spectacular. You can go back and listen on our website. Mark Cassie, Don Little Jr., Doug Arnold, and Fletcher Mock, all making this show what it was here this morning. We appreciate everybody tuning in coast to coast, and good luck on those Derby preps later this afternoon. And, of course, enjoy the Super Bowl tomorrow. As always, go Rams, right?
Go Rams.
Yeah, no doubt. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Chauncey, Sean C., for handling all of our social media for us here this morning. For Jude Feld and for all of our guests, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Hey, my anti-patriot chant, go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.